listening to Law and Gospel on this Thursday, December the 3rd, in the year of our Lord, 2015. And we have some sad news to report to you. You may have heard that the Boy Scouts of America, their standards have changed. They have lifted the Boy Scout of America's ban on openly gay scout leaders. This has caused great concern and has led the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod to dissolve the former Memorandum of Understanding between the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and the Boy Scouts of America. As of December the 1st, 2015, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod no longer has an official relationship with the Boy Scouts of America. And to help us talk about that, we have with us our good friend, the Reverend Wes Reimnitz. Hi, Wes.
Hi, Pastor Baker.
Boy, how do you react to this?
Well, I think right to begin with, I think it's a very well-written document. And they took time to study it. You know, this when you talk about that the Boy Scouts made this leadership change with gay adults, that was back in mid-July of this year. And now they're just finally responding. That tells me they took time to study it and went through all the various pieces of this before they made their decision.
Yes. What I find interesting, and you're speaking about the Boy Scouts of America update put out by the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, signed by Dr. Matthew C. Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church, and Reverend Bart Day, who's executive director of the items that occur in the national mission. And obviously, this is something that's occurring here in the United States. And I think you're correct that the document is well written. In fact, I learned some things here that I had never known. For example, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod has never endorsed scouting formally. The most they said is that each congregation would have the responsibility to establish its own policy as pastoral wisdom, and Synod has neither, and this was important to me, encourages nor discourages scoutism in any congregation.
Right. Yeah. That's something I've known over the last 30, 40 years, but
how's that possible? You're only 25 years old.
I know. 39 and counting.
Were you a Boy Scout?
Yes, I was.
Oh, for boy.
And my son, too, was into scouting. And I was a chaplain for one of the local troops that my son was involved with on summer camps. So, you know, this affects us because we're parting company with the Boy Scouts because of the ruling that they made.
Yes, and of course they made the ruling due to the Supreme Court ruling in Obergefell versus Hodges, where now even gay marriage is considered to be a normal activity, which of course, from God's point of view, is an abomination.
That's right. In the Scout Promise, they make a promise to do their duty to God. Now, what duty do you put to God? And it's at confessional odds. And in this document that Harrison and Day came up with, they very, very much point to the Christian's confession.
Yes, and congregations who are still in the Boy Scouts need to understand that in light of the fact that this memorandum between the Boy Scouts and the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, Memorandum of Understanding, it has been dissolved by the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod as of December the 1st, 2015. And therefore, if congregations are sued in light of their continuation of Boy Scouts and not permitting homosexual leaders, they can no longer seek recourse through the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. They're going to have to hire their own legal counsel and guidance on how best to safeguard themselves legally.
Right, and I think that's an important distinction that you're bringing up with, Because when you read that memo of understanding and you read the document that the lawyers put out from the Boy Scouts, they make the statement, the court could conclude that the BSA is a place of public accommodation based on the size and inclusiveness of the scouting program. Boy, that just leaves all kinds of open space as to how you look at public accommodation.
Yes. In fact, they talk about it in this way. While we understand the legal concerns that led to this new Boy Scouts of America direction, it simply is not a place the church is willing to go. At our summer 2013 meeting with the Boy Scouts of America, we were assured that changes concerning adult leadership would not be on the table, but that was not the case. We are now being told that the LGBT agenda, even with the most recent change, won't affect the content of scouting or the BSA experience, but we do not believe that will be the case.
No, because they just in what you stated, they backpedaled and said we're going to allow gay leaders when they said no, they weren't going to. So they've changed their minds. So why not change your mind on the whole thing?
I've said for months that the problem with being a practicing homosexual is, from God's point of view, that is child abuse. And a lot of people, you know, argued with me saying, what do you mean by that? And what I mean is very simple. If you have a known practicing homosexual in front of our children, that means that we are condoning it, because we're allowing it. And as the Bible says, if you offend one of these little ones, it would be better that you be thrown into a sea with a millstone around your neck. Now, I'm not predicting that that should happen, but I'm making the point that you offend and abuse children, not only physically, but also mentally. By giving them this understanding that this is a valid lifestyle, which quite clearly in the Bible can lead a person to go to hell, this is a terrible abuse, and I'm very proud of being a member of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod that has now dissolved this memorandum with the Boy Scouts, particularly, in fact, in the fact that they lied about never changing it, which, of course, they now have.
Right. And I think you add, too, that, you know, since this thing in July with the Boy Scouts, what are they going to do about those that want to be transgender and be a leader?
Oh, yeah, that'll be next. And before you know it, I'm sure the Supreme Court will allow polygamy so that you can have a leader. In fact, I'm waiting for the time when a lesbian woman insists that she can be a leader of the Boy Scouts.
Hmm. I hadn't thought of that one.
Oh, yeah, this opens up a can of worms here. And it's kind of interesting that President Matthew Harrison very wisely has established a task force to consider these congregations who are involved in scouting and how the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod may go forward. For example, the Wisconsin Synod, and that's a very also conservative denomination, never has wanted to be a part of the Boy Scouts. I think they have their own organization. Whether we'll start a new one or join with one that's now existing, I don't know what's going to happen, but some changes do need to be made in order to protect our children from the homosexual agenda.
Right, and it really comes down to how do you view your duty to God or the promises you make to God or the confessions that you make, you know, in these instances.
That's well said. Now, I personally don't have a problem with a repentant homosexual being head of a Boy Scout, because I think that sends another good signal that this is a person who recognized the abominable lifestyle in which they were living, have repented of it, stopped from doing it, and therefore they would be a great example to children.
I think, I think that's a point well taken. The book that I always refer to that you got me onto was Bearing Their Burdens by
Thomas Eckstein. Yes.
Yeah, and that's just an excellent book on dealing with repentant homosexuals.
Yes, we also spoke about Lutheran Church Missouri Synod had a paper on how families can minister to homosexual children, etc., that I thought was very well written. It makes distinctions that are important. I consider homosexuality to be like somebody who's an alcoholic. They never really lose that, and they just have to stay away from alcohol, or they'll often fall back into their previous state. And so a distinction we make is between a practicing homosexual and a non-practicing homosexual who could easily join the congregation because he is repentant and also receive the Lord's Supper.
Would that kind of fall under Romans 7, the good that I would, that I should, and I don't do, and the evil that I don't want to do, I end up doing?
Yeah, that's pretty good there, because Paul had certain addictions to sin that he just couldn't stop doing. And, you know, it's an interesting question. Why does God permit different set of addictions? I was watching a program. I guess we have a real drug problem in the St. Louis area with heroin. And they were talking about how they were trying to overcome that. I cannot understand how anyone would take heroin to get a high knowing the dangers of it. It would be like, for example, you go to a buffet, and there's a sign at the beginning, right when you walk into the door, it says, "Our food is just wonderful, but there is one thing that we do serve that may cause you to die." Well, who would take any of the food there? I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, poor Costco, they ended up some chicken, I think they were serving, and people got sick and such. And boy, what a terrible thing. There's another smaller restaurant chain, and they have lost tremendous business. But can you tell me why people, knowing the dangers of marijuana, heroin, and other drugs, delight to take that?
If I knew the answer to that, we'd be millionaires and trying to solve people's drug addiction problems.
Well, I think you hit it on the head, though, with Romans 7, the things I don't want to do. Some people get so depressed that they just have to get out of that depression, and they think that the drugs do that, which is really quite possible. I was watching Cops recently, and a young man was fooling around with other people in the streets, and the police told him to stop, and he just kept on walking. And then when he turned around, he attacked the police, and they found that he had meth in him, and he was just totally out of his mind.
But that brings us back then again to Romans 7, the good that I would, that I should, I don't do, and the evil I don't want to do, I end up doing.
Yes.
But thanks be to God because of Jesus Christ.
This is really important to get across. We need to, and I'll just say it, we need to show love towards all sinners, including homosexuals, because there, but for the grace of God, go you and I.
And we do that on a Sunday morning in our worship services. We make that confession of sins, and I think that's where the trouble lies in. Is what do you call sin? Do you call sin what God calls it, or do we make allowances like they're doing in the homosexuals case?
Yesterday, I visited a person in the hospital. I'm working with some congregations, and they assigned me visits to make. And I walked in, and they were surprised because I had my collar on, and said they really thanked me for coming. I had a prayer and spoke to the family members. And I asked her how she was doing. She says, "I'm good." And I said, "Are you? Because I'm not good." Unfortunately, she started laughing, and that hurt her. So I said, "I'm sorry, I won't make any more jokes." And then I said, "You know, when I go to preach at a congregation, sometimes I'll go over the speed limit so that I can have a sin to confess with the rest of you." And she started laughing again. We all are sinners. In fact, every one of us, including we as pastors, deserve nothing but temporal and eternal punishment. And I think the emphasis you made about Jesus is real important. How can Jesus help someone who is unfortunately living in unconfessed sin?
He can if they're living in unconfessed sin. It's got to be a confession of sins going on there.
And how does that come about?
The Holy Spirit working in your heart. You know, Romans 10, faith comes from hearing and hearing the word of Christ.
Yes, and we want to make it real clear that the law does have a means which the Holy Spirit uses, but it's not a means of grace to comfort you. It's a means instead to show you how sinful you are.
Right. I mean, we teach it to our children in confirmation, SOS the law, SOS the gospel. The SOS shows our sin by the law, and the gospel shows us our Savior.
Yeah, last night I was preaching at Emmanuel Lutheran Olivet, and I'll tell you, I preached also in the morning. That was why we weren't on the radio. And they had the children from the school sing, and I was just ecstatic to listen to them. They sang with loud voices, and you could understand the words. It was just amazing. But my sermon was from Isaiah 40, comfort ye my people. And then the ending of that second verse says that on judgment day, you will receive double for your sins. And I said, who wants to receive double for their sins? And of course, nobody put their hand up, because there are passages in the Bible that receiving double for your sins means bigger punishment. But I pointed out that the term double was also used to give great blessings. Remember Job, after he went through suffering and then he came around to the right understanding of God? It says that God restored to him
double. Yeah.
What he had received.
Right, yeah.
Now, I was, a lady said I had made a mistake in the sermon because I said that he had received 7 new sons and 3 daughters, I believe, which would be double what he had. And she came up to me afterwards. She says, no, he already had 10 children, so he didn't receive 10 more. So I had to get my brain working to try and get out of that mistake, because it was a mistake. And I said, well, wait a minute. When Job goes to heaven and they ask how many children he had, he's going to say 20, not 10.
Oh, that's quick on the feet.
Boy, that was quick, except they also numbered the sheep and the cattle, and they were double what he had before. So she said, no, that's not going to work. And so in the late service, I didn't even mention the children, so I wouldn't get caught again.
Oh, my goodness.
But see, Scripture interprets Scripture. And Job's a perfect example who he just couldn't understand why God was doing, and he was getting all his bad friends telling him, well, that's because of a sin that you've done, and God is just getting even with you. And he just couldn't accept that until he talked with God and found out that he indeed is a merciful and gracious God.
Which, by the way, you mentioned this document from the LCMS on family stand with homosexuals.
Yes.
How can they get a copy of that?
They can actually write me at email me at lawandgospel@lawandgospel101.com, and I will email back them a free copy. There'll be no charge for it at all, because I think it's a very helpful copy. And if you have need for it, if you would like to, you know, send something to Law and Gospel, then you need to write out a check. Somebody mentioned to me, by the way, just while you're talking about how to help Law and Gospel, is that a lot of people no longer have checks. They have credit cards. And so if you want to do a credit card, you can email me, give me your phone number, and I will phone you back, and we'll take down your credit card information. So that's the way you can do a credit card. But if you do a check, listen to the end of the program, and it gives you the how to go ahead and do that. But let's get back right now to this thing about the Boy Scouts. What do you think might happen with many congregations?
Well, you're going to have a few that are going to continue on. You know, that's something, I'm a circuit visitor up in Lincoln Circuit, and that's something I have to sit down with the pastors of our...
A circuit visitor is somebody who has a number of congregations that they work with theological help.
Help, yes. And that's something that I have to sit down with them and say, you're going to have to sit down and decide whether you're going to continue in the Scouts. And if you do, just like Harrison says, you're going to have to get some legal counsel and decide how you're going to handle things.
Yeah, you mentioned that they, what are they regarded as, the Scouts?
A place of public accommodation.
Now, they also say that not all states recognize that. So a congregation may want to check with their state to see if the Boy Scouts are recognized. Because once it's a public accommodation, you cannot make restrictions as to who can join or lead or this sort of thing. But if you're in a state where it's not considered a public accommodation, you can continue with your Boy Scouts, I believe. But once more, you better check with legality, lawyers, and what the possibilities are.
Right, and those were things that I was talking about to our churches back in 2013 and 14 and 15 about public accommodations.
Yes. Yeah, I can understand if you're running a motel, you can't ask a person if they're a homosexual to rent them out a room. And you probably can't ask them that also if you want them to be on the desk. That's a public accommodation. And we find that if you go to a McDonald's or any of the restaurants also. But when you're having theological teaching involved, because what was that phrase you said that they believe to what? Trust in God? Or just how does it say that?
Duty to God. Their promise of their duty to God and country.
Well, if now the homosexuals have a God that okays homosexuality, that's not the true God.
That's the problem, yeah.
Yep.
What God do you worship? And that was, I've taken Boy Scouts through their merit badge on religion and to God. And now it's, you say no, and then they say yeah.
Yeah.
There's a confusion there.
No, that really is. So we need to keep in our prayers the congregations that have that. And I'm sure the Missouri Synod, especially in light of the task force that President Harrison has set up, will be able to give further advice down the road here to those congregations who want to keep something similar to the Boy Scouts in their congregation, because it has been very helpful for many congregations, I'm sure.
Yeah, and that's a good point you're bringing out. I mean, while we may call these things sin, we say, how do we handle it, and how do we bear their burdens? How do we work them through the problems that they have with sin?
Yes, and so keeping in mind the Romans 7, we understand people who are addicted to various kinds of sin, and we pray that God will lead them to a right understanding of what His will is. But the church is really important as we continue to preach the law, which becomes a means the Holy Spirit uses to show that a person is not doing what God's will is. And then when they become even hateful of God for demanding that, that's the time to give the gospel.
That's right. And that's just, I think, the life of a Christian in general. The closer they grow in their faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, the more they know their sinfulness, and the more it goes back and forth and closer to Jesus.
Yes, and that's why we brought this up today on Law and Gospel, because this really is a law and gospel point of view. It would be, imagine that a pedophile is allowed to take care of children in a Sunday school. Who would allow that? Nobody would. Well, from God's point of view, pedophilia, homosexuality, going over the speed limit, gossip, they all deserve eternal damnation if they are not repented of. And that's the point that we need to make, that the law is really strong in this area.
And the gospel that Jesus died on the cross for those sins as well as our sins.
Exactly. Well, thank you very much, Pastor Reimnitz. I know we had another topic we thought we might be going to. Maybe we can save it till next week, but who knows what's going to happen next week. We didn't allow questions today, but tomorrow is Open Mic Friday. If any of you have any questions on this Boy Scout memorandum the Missouri Synod had, please let us know. Till tomorrow, then, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email lawandgospel@lawandgospel101.com.